losing that passion. And a big question mark is, what happened? What happened? And there are many reasons, but I just want us to kind of look at some Bible characters this morning, and let's see what they did, what made them different from the rest of the crowd. Okay, because God wants us to stand out from the crowd, as you can see in that picture. All right, we have to stand out. We need to be light bearers. Amen. So this earth is ready for people who are filled with godly conviction, not doubting, not being mediocre, not being ashamed, but filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at the definition. It's a strong belief or opinion. Okay. Someone who has deep convictions. The state of mind of a person who is sure that what he or she believes or says is true. Okay. You believe that it is true. It is not something made up. It's not something that someone else has said to you and you're kind of thinking about, is this true or is this just an idea? No, this is the truth. Jesus said you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So it's a strong conviction, a certainty. A certitude means a state of being free from doubt. Okay, so I believe God wants to set us free from doubt. We cannot operate in doubt in this season. God is wanting us to shift gears. Amen? We're going a level higher, but before God can take us higher, He wants to deal with the doubt. So let's go a bit deeper into our belief system. What do you believe? As we go around, we talk a lot about values. Okay, what are your values? And we see different value systems in this world. Isn't that right? In the school systems, a lot of that is being challenged. Your values are being challenged in these days. The gender issue these days, you know? How do you raise your children, parents, when you're being challenged? What will you do when those values are being challenged? And it will be. So I believe God is calling us back to a place of moving with strong convictions. So it applies especially to belief strongly held by the individual. Okay, so we collectively, we believe. Amen? That's why we're here. Collectively, we have faith that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Corporately, we stand together and our faith gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And there's something special about the gathering of the saints. Can I move around because I can't see everybody? So I'm going to move up and down. There's such a joy coming to church. We are the church, amen? But there's something exciting coming to a building, a place where the saints are gathering, because we get energized. I got energized this morning. I woke up quite early this morning, had my cup of coffee, but the worship definitely woke me up. Because it is such a powerful thing when we come together collectively and we praise the name of Jesus. There's nothing like it. But what happens when you leave this building and you go to your school, to your workplace, and you're all alone? And it's not the church, it's you. How will you respond to the challenges? How will you respond to compromise? Okay, so it's a strong belief yelled by the individual. My wife and I are in agreement. And it's a beautiful thing to stand in agreement, in harmony, and move together. Amen? As a family. Also, it's a beautiful and a powerful thing as a church coming together and saying, we believe this is God's assignment for us as a church. And we're moving together. But there will be a time when you'll be moving on your own. So when you are on your own, just be mindful that God has called you to stand. Scripture says, after having done all to stand, stand. Amen. So in the next coming months and years, it's going to be harder to stand if you don't know who you are and if you don't have strong convictions. And there's a saying that says, if you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. And that's what I've seen, sadly, a lot of people drift because they don't stand for truth. They drift away because they were not really sure what they believed in was actually the truth. It's something that they've adopted, maybe, or copied, and tried to make it their own. But there comes a time when you have to say, this is what I believe, these are my convictions. So let's look at some Bible characters. I picked three. There are obviously many in the Bible. But let's go to the next slide and let's look at Abraham. Now, the father of our faith. What a powerful character to look at and to study. You know, Abraham, God has told him, I will make you the father of many nations. And let's read the Romans chapter 4, verse 19 to 21. Now, before I read this, he was challenged, okay? He had a situation where God spoke the word, and he was like, I don't know how this is going to work out. But look at this. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Amen. So it says here that Abraham had a bit of a challenge. Okay, he looked at his own body, looked at his wife's body, and he was like, okay, this is not going to work out the same as it worked out when we were in our 20s. You know, this is like a bit of a challenge to give birth or to get pregnant. But he was filled with faith. When God promised them a child, when God said to him, you'll be the father of many nations, Abram had a choice. He could either be moved by circumstances or he could dig deep and say, you know what? I choose to believe that God is able to do the impossible. Amen. You can say amen if you believe. Okay. And I love verse 21. And being fully convinced. The old King James says being fully persuaded. Alright. Being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Someone said years ago, it's not your ability, but it's God's ability in you. I'll say it again. It's not your ability, but it's God's ability in you. So sometimes you find yourselves in hopeless situations, okay? And you can't see how this will work out. How will this promise come true? How will this word manifest? How will we break ground when we see all these challenges? But if we are fully convinced that what God has said will come to pass, we will actually have a change of language. Can you see that? Your language will change. Your walk will change. You're fully confident. Show me a confident person and show me a person that's not so sure about himself. You can see that, right? A person who's confident, you can see the way he or she walks, how they talk, how they behave. Something is different. So Abraham, he didn't deny the facts. The facts are there. This looks difficult. This looks extremely challenging. But God. But God. And that's a line I want you guys to memorize. Because the enemy will tell you, do you really think this will work out this time? And you must just have like a recording playing. But God. But God is able. But God is faithful. But God can do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask for or even imagine. But God. Amen. Do you believe that? So I want you to be aware of the fact that you have what it takes to fulfill the assignment on your life. God has placed something on the inside of you, this church. You're not just here to fill a space. You at your workplace, you're not there just to fill a space. You're there by assignment. God has placed you there for a purpose. And you will be challenged. I'm going to talk later about advancing. But wherever you are, you will be challenged. The question is, how will you respond? Some of us keep quiet. When we are being challenged, we keep quiet or we look the other way. I want us to actually respond. Respond with full conviction. Amen. So, let's see, what did Abraham do? Let's look at the lessons from Abraham. Have complete faith and trust in God. Okay, that's a very basic phrase, to have complete faith and trust in God. But the key here is Abraham was in a covenant relationship with God. Something powerful happened when God said, Abraham, look at the stars. Do you see that? I will make you the father of many nations. God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Something powerful happened in the spirit. It was a covenant made between Abram and God the Father. Many people step into the unknown with old covenant mentality. Many people step into an assignment with old covenant way of thinking. And they don't experience breakthrough. Abraham could respond to that challenge because he knew that God made covenant with him. You remember the time when God said, look at the stars. I actually stood outside at our house last night. And it was load shedding. And the stars were shining bright. And I was like, I could either complain or have a teachable moment. Look at the stars. And so I did. And God reminded me of this, the scene where he took Abraham outside and said, look at the stars. If you are in covenant relationship, you know something. Right? Husbands and wives, if you are in covenant relationship, you know something about your wife or your husband, but others don't. When you're in covenant relationship with God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, you know something that people out there don't know. So why do we act like we don't believe? Why do we act like we don't have faith? We ought to live different. We ought to behave different. We ought to live from a place of conviction. So that's my encouragement to us this morning. We can respond differently because we have a covenant relationship with God. Amen. So we don't deny the facts. We're not pretending that it's not happening. We're not pretending that it's not difficult. We're not pretending that our children are facing difficulties at school. We're not playing ostrich. We are aware of what's going on, but God, he has the answer. And it says there that Abraham was not wavering. If you read that scripture again, verse 20, he did not waver. Now the word waver simply means that, you know, he didn't doubt. Like sometimes when people waver, one moment they're here, the next moment they're there. Then they're over here and then they're over there. They will say yes, amen at church, but come Monday or Wednesday, I'm not so sure anymore if I believe that. Because it's amazing when we are in the gathering of the saints, when beautiful worship are being played like this morning, and there's an atmosphere, and we are charged with faith, and we say, yes, I believe, I'm fully convinced. But Monday happens, or you get that bad report, what will you say then? And you will say, this is the report that God is able. We will believe the report of the Lord. Some may trust in horses, some may trust in chariots, but we, say, but we, but we will trust in the name of our God. Can you see covenant there? But we will trust in the name of our God. So not wavering, not hesitating. There's no retreat. You're not pulling back. You're fully convinced. You're moving forward. Amen. You're advancing territory. And I believe also, this is a word for this congregation to advance. Amen. God has given you words. He's given you promises over this town, over this area, the farming communities. God's going to break through. Amen. But He loves breaking through earthen vessels, through earthly clay, people like you and I. We don't always have it all together, but yet God chooses to use us. Isn't that a privilege? All right. So that's Abraham. Now let's look at the next character. I love Daniel. You can tell me, what's the main story of Daniel? What do you remember of Daniel? The lion's den. Yeah, one of my favorite stories growing up. I remember those cartoons, the lions with the big teeth. So Daniel in the lion's den. But before that happened, there was also something significant that took place, and it's in chapter 1. Daniel had such a strong conviction about what he believed God was calling him into. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. Okay, so the king basically made an order, gave an instruction, you will eat all this food, but Daniel just felt like, no, I'm not going to do that. He asked the chief of the staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. Now, God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel. But Daniel responded, listen to this, I am afraid of my lord the king. Sorry, not Daniel, but he responded, the chief of staff, I'm afraid of my lord and the king, who has ordered that you eat this food and wine. If you become pale and thin compared to the other youths your age, I am afraid that the king will have me beheaded. So this guy was very much afraid. Okay? But, verse 11, Daniel spoke with the attendant who had been appointed. Is it on there? Okay, I don't have it. Daniel spoke with the attendant who had been appointed by the chief. Of the staff, look after Daniel. Now those names, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, is actually Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the Hebrew, their names changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you remember those names from the story of Daniel? Okay. Please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water. Daniel said, at the end of the 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then make your decision in light of what you see. Okay. Nothing against meat and wine this morning. It's not about that. It's about Daniel had a conviction at the time God gave instructions not to eat those foods. So in the midst of, you know, how can I say, opposition and popular demands, Daniel chose to be different. He chose to go the opposite direction. Now, what is interesting about Daniel, he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid of the king's commands. He said, I would rather worship my God. I would rather fear my God than follow the king's instructions. And listen to this. He said, test us after 10 days. See if we are the same or if we are different. There's going to come a time when the world will look at you to see whether or not you are different or are you blending in. And I think there's been a big thing, even in our church circles, just to blend in. just blend in, just be like everybody else, talk like everybody else, do what they do, be in the same places. Now, there's a time when God is calling us to go into spaces to win people for Christ, but how often do we compromise and we can't distinguish the difference? After 10 days, there was a difference. Daniel and his friends, they looked different. They appeared different. So, you fill in the blank. Okay, let's look at the next slide. Lessons from Daniel. Look, make a quality decision to do what is right and honorable in the sight of God. Make a quality decision. And I feel like because we're not fully convinced, because there's no conviction, our decisions are not strong enough. You know, when we're being challenged, we back out. So make a quality decision. You will not bow. Make a quality decision. You will not compromise. So people who have strong convictions, they know the challenge. They know that they will be challenged. And they are prepared for it. But many of us, because we kind of doubt, we hesitate, when the challenge comes, we back out. Daniel didn't do that. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself. Now, you can fill in the blank. It doesn't have to be food or whatever. It can be something you watch. It can be certain circles of friends where you hang out. Don't defile yourself with that crowd. Don't defile yourself with that movie. Okay? Because God is calling us into a space of revival and refreshing and outpouring of His Spirit. So I believe He wants to get His church ready. Amen? For what's coming. And so maybe this could be a strong word for you, but it's good sometimes to pause and say, you know what? What's going on the inside? What am I allowing? What am I entertaining? What am I allowing inside to defile this temple? I believe you agree that this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So purpose in your heart not to defile yourself with whatever the Holy Spirit is showing you. And I pray, as you sit here, you fill in the blank. If God is calling you to let go of something, go home and do that. And if you need to, go take a friend, take someone and pray over that thing and bring it before the Lord. Amen. So go against the flow. Resist evil and raise the standard. And I believe that God is calling a Daniel, if I can call it like this, a Daniel generation for this season. A generation that is unashamed. A generation that will raise the standard. Because what is happening lately, people are confused. What is right? What is wrong? They don't know anymore because the Word of God is no longer the final authority in our schools. It used to be. In many places, the Word of God was yelled up high. But because people go with popular belief, popular opinion, God's Word has been watered down to what man wants it to be. And that's sad. So God is wanting to pour out His Spirit again. But it starts with having a respect for God's Word. It starts with having godly fear. We will not bow. We will not tolerate a diluted gospel. We will not tolerate compromise. And if you read the whole chapter, the whole book of Daniel, you can see his friends, they had the same resolute, the same conviction. When they were asked to compromise, to worship the king, what did they say? We will not bow. And what happened to them? They got thrown into the fiery furnace, right? So how about being rewarded for your faith? Okay? And I think that's sometimes a challenge. What will I get if I say yes to God? It's not something we put in your refrigerator door maybe and confess every day. Hey, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace, you know. The reality is, persecution is happening. The reality is persecution is coming. So for us to go into that level where persecution is coming, how will we respond? We have to be people who are strong, who are moved with strong convictions. So I love the book of Daniel because it just speaks of a generation, a people who raises the standard. What will you do at your work when people are challenging you to compromise? What will you do in your office or at school when you are being challenged to compromise? Raise the standard. We will not bow. Amen. We will not compromise. But I love what happened in the fiery furnace. The fourth man appeared. Bible says that they appeared like the Son of Man in a fiery furnace. It's not on there, but I'm just sharing. They appeared to be a fourth man like the Son of Man. Jesus is right there in a fiery furnace. When the heat is on, you're not alone. He is with you. When you say no to sin, no to evil, no to compromise, Jesus is right there with you. So let's say no to the things of this world. Just the other day, we went on a game drive, not too far from here, Aquila Lodge, near Toast Refuge. Anybody been to Aquila Lodge? So we went on this game drive. We had friends from America. And we saw the Big Five and just had a beautiful game drive. And obviously, everybody wants to see a lion. That's like the highlight of the game drive. I don't know why, but anyways, king of the jungle, I guess. But on the game drive, we could see these lions kind of like on the hillside in the distance. So everybody was like a bit disappointed, you know, they're a bit far away. So we carried on with our drive, had some snacks, turned around, and the lady said, driving, the driver, she said, "We might just see them because I can see them coming down. They're at the water." So we parked the vehicle right there near the water, and these lions were just chilling there. They were just having a relaxed time. And we were watching them and like taking photos, and all of a sudden this big lion just stood up. And I've never seen somebody shift gears so quickly. And she's been doing this like for a couple of years. The respect for a lion. Now, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den with hungry lions. And he said to the king, "You know what? I believe my God can save me. But even if it doesn't, I will not bow. I will still worship him." How many believers have that type of faith? I get goosebumps saying it because sometimes we are afraid to go into an area where our faith will be challenged. We'd rather go the other way. But what God is doing is building us up in our faith. He's saying, "I don't want you to doubt anymore. I want you to be rooted and grounded in truth so that when the evil day comes, you can stand." The evil day and evil days are coming. We need to stand. And we know the story. God delivered Daniel. And he got favor. You know, he got favor with the king. So let's look at the last character, Paul. I love Paul. You know, he obviously wrote most of the New Testament. Romans 8, verse 37 to 38 in the New Living Translation. Now, before we read there, Paul was talking about all these other things, bad things and challenges and all of that. But he's saying here, "No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. I am convinced," there's the word again, "I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love." Amen. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Not demonic powers, not the Satanists doing their thing, not threats, not intimidation. Nothing can separate us from God's love. My question is, are you rooted and grounded in God's love? Because if we're not rooted and grounded, the storms will come and they will uproot you. You'll be uprooted. We have these heavy winds the other day. I'm not sure if the wind blew here this week as well, but in Stellenbosch it was crazy. Things were flying around and the storms of life will come. But if you are rooted and grounded in Christ, will not be shaken. Amen? We will not be shaken. So Paul is saying here, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ. And he uses this word, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. You need to know that you are loved. You need to know that God loves you. It's God's love that's the assurance that everything will be okay. That he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Even if you have to stand all by yourself, just know that God is with you. He's the fourth man in the fiery furnace. He's there in the lion's den. He's there when you're being challenged. Maybe you're the only born again person in your family and you're feeling alone. Or you're being mocked for your faith. God is there with you. Don't be afraid. And he loves you. And the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. So allow God's love to drive out that fear that wants to paralyze you. You know what happens if we tolerate fear? It paralyzes us. We can't move. We can't operate. And that's why revival sometimes can't break through, because the enemy uses fear to paralyze the body of Christ. But God is saying, I want to set you free. It's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God that we're going to break free. Amen? And just want to shortly talk about how to respond to the enemy. Now, for me, I don't like talking about the devil, to be quite honest. I love talking about Jesus, Father God, the Holy Spirit, what God is doing. But I had to learn and be mindful that we actually have an enemy. And he's very real. And he's out there to kill, steal, and destroy. The Bible says, be sober-minded, be alert, because your enemy, the devil, is walking around like a roaring lion. Talking about a lion. He's like a roaring lion. Trying to do what? To destroy you. Trying to intimidate the believer. Did God really say? Who do you think you are? Now, he's trying to put pressure on you. But what does the Bible say? How to respond? It's not on there, but you can just listen, okay? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. But resist the devil. Be firm in your faith against his attacks. Be rooted, established, and immovable. That's the Amplified version. Be rooted, established, and immovable. Knowing. Now, I want to pause there. We need to know some stuff. We need to know whose we are. And we also know that we belong to the body of Christ. To know something sets you apart. To know something sets you apart from the crowd. It says here, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. You do not suffer alone. Many people feel so alone during times of attack. Oh, I'm the only one going through this right now. But you're not. So many people, if you just ask around, we went through a very personal crisis not long ago, and we felt overwhelmed. And as we were sharing the story and just asking for prayer and coming together in accountability, we found out that those believers went through a very similar a crisis or are in it themselves. And that in itself is liberating because you're not alone. So let us not forsake the fellowship of the saints, as is the habit of some, Scripture says. For some, it's a habit not to do this, especially after COVID, right? Let's just stay at home, watch a sermon online, which is great. But we don't have excuses anymore. We can actually come and be together. So resist the devil. Be firm in your faith. Be steadfast in your faith. In other words, be fully convinced who you are and what God says that He has called you to do. But also know this, that you're not alone. Other believers are also suffering. James 4 verse 7. You guys know this. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Das ist sehr einfach. Das ist sehr einfach. Resist him. And God has given us a word for 2023. He says it's the year to advance, to take territory. We're moving forward. And with the personal struggles we've experienced, I'm like, Satan knows this by now. Is he not learning? Every time he opposes us, every time he challenges God's word, every time he's trying to put something on us, our response is, we are going into the offense, not defense. We've been on the defense for too long. We're going offensive now. In a way, we're getting aggressive with our faith. In other words, more people are being saved. More people are being healed and set free. So I'm like, devil, you're not learning. You're not getting it. If you put pressure on us, we're putting pressure on you. That is what resisting means. Okay? If the Bible says resist, it doesn't mean like, okay, it's not a Bluetooth resist, okay? It's an actual, we're resisting, we're applying pressure on the enemy. So what happens? Daniel, kom gou vorentoe asseblief. Now I know he's younger than me and he's probably fitter than me, but let's pretend that I'm stronger, okay, for a moment. Just give me a hand. I'm putting pressure on Daniel and he's actually moving back. He's moving back. And I'm gaining territory. Don't worry, thanks, man. We are applying pressure on the enemy, and when we do that, what happens? He moves back. But if we do nothing, we open the door and he comes in. And what we're doing is we're saying to him, do what you want. Come and kill, steal, destroy. Come and bring deception. Someone said years ago, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. When we tolerate fear, when we tolerate evil, our faith is being contaminated by the lies. So the Bible says, resist him. Apply pressure on him. In other words, push him back. What happens when we push him back? We are advancing, amen, to the next level. Does that sound good news? To advance to the next level in your marriage. Exciting, amen. I don't want a dead marriage. Next level. Have you noticed how many marriages have been attacked these days? The enemy hates the covenant of marriage. He hates family. That's why he is applying pressure on your marriage, on your family. How will you respond? Will you say nothing and say, oh, just come and just do what you want? Or will you be fully convinced that God has called us to be excellent? God has called us to be different. We're not going to blend in with the crowd. We're going to be faithful. Amen. We're going to be committed. Apply pressure and push him back with authority. I'll finish with this. You've probably heard this quote years ago. Evil prevails when good men do nothing. So all we got to do for evil to prevail is fold our hands and watch and do nothing. The body of Christ for too long tolerated fear. And we've been silenced by the enemy. So not on my watch, not on my watch, will I allow the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy. I choose to declare God's word over my family, over my church, over my community. Yes, there will be resistance. We also work on the farms and we bring the gospel to different farm workers and communities, and we deal with a lot of people who are broken, caught up in addiction, cycles of pain and fear, broken families. And sometimes it's intimidating. Will this ever change? And God just reminded me, you just advance. You just move forward. You push back the enemy. Push back the lies. What happens if one person comes to salvation? It can change a family. It can change a community. What happens if one person or two people in this congregation says, not on our watch, we will not tolerate evil in our town, in our schools. We will actually raise the standard and say we will move forward. Amen. So just an encouragement for all of us not to be without hope. Be hopeful. Okay, be hopeful that God is faithful to complete the good work that He has started in you. And I'll say this again. God has already given you guys access to this town. You have the key. But with that key comes great authority. And with that key comes an attitude of faith. Walk in it boldly and with confidence. Amen. I want to just pray over us. So if we can just worship. If the band can come up. Or even just one person just to play a song. I would like just to pray over us. So, whatever God has maybe stirred in your heart while sharing, you know, I believe that there's always a word within the word. There's a message sometimes in the message for you and your family. So if you have received a word and God has given you maybe a reminder of something and you have forgotten about it, stir up your faith. Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift that is in you. Stir it up. Sometimes we wait for somebody else to pray over us, which is good. But you can stir up that gift in worship. Don't be intimidated by the enemy. So can we just stand and just give glory to Jesus, just worship Him for a minute.